Next man up, 102.5 The Game. Jake Lyman joined in studio by Corey Curtis from News 2 for his usual Wednesday visit to the program. Parker Kelly behind the glass. We are broadcasting live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership with a buzz is always about great service. Corey, as always, thanks for coming in. What's going on?
You're welcome. No, I'm kidding. I'm sorry. Thanks for having me. It's great to be here. We're 7 weeks in.
We are.
We're 7 weeks in.
We are.
11 to go.
And I thought about, because we typically lead the show with the Titans.
Yeah.
But they're 1-6. So we're going to talk plenty of Titans throughout the show,
so we're gonna
as
flip,
we always do.
We're going to flip the script
and go
6-1.
Right. We're going to go to the 6-1 team in Nashville with Vanderbilt to start. Coming off a 31-24 win over LSU. And we've talked plenty about Vandy when you visited and about, you know, they can make the college football playoff, but you've got to beat these teams that are, I mean, LSU is not an easy team to go beat. They're a top 10 team for a reason, and you've got plenty of other tough teams on the schedule. But Vandy got back to their identity on Saturday.
Yeah, they ran the football.
Yes.
This is exactly what we talked about last Wednesday. I said they need to get back to doing what they do and running the football. They got away from it at Alabama. They got back to it, and that offensive line is just punishing.
The Cade McConnell block, that is, I mean,
The blocks. It wasn't a block.
Right.
It was blocks.
The rep, I guess I could say. Yeah. you know, end, gone, tackle, gone in about half a second.
You know, that's playing with violence. And, you know, there's a difference between playing dirty and playing with violence. That's what coaches want to see. They want to see you engage someone to destroy them. All right.
Right.
And that doesn't mean to hurt them. That doesn't mean, you know, to catch them while they're not looking. That means, you know, I'm at the line of scrimmage, and if you're here, you got to go. And, you know, I'm not going to just try to finesse you. I mean, he's 6'5", 335 pounds, okay? Not everybody who's 6'5", 335 uses it the same way.
Yes.
And this is a guy who sat the bench for 2 years at Minnesota. So, you know, guy who's clearly learned to play. All right. And it's clearly, by the way, you know, we always talk about, like, especially like with the Titans, guys leave and they get better, or they, you know, the guys come here and they don't get better.
Yeah.
Guys have come to Vanderbilt and gotten better.
For sure.
Okay. And so they deserve credit for that. But that is just symbolic of this offensive line. And we have been talking about this all season.
Yeah.
That they wear people out. And that is... that is why I think they will go to the college football playoff. I think 4-1 gets them in. They could go 5-0, but I don't know if they will or not. And look, could they go 2-3 or 3-2? Sure, they surely could. They got nothing but SEC teams left on the calendar.
Yes,
but it's time to embrace it. And I know, because I talk to a lot of people about this now, because they want to know. They still don't. They still want to say, yeah, but it's Vanderbilt. And I'm like, you're not understanding. This is not Vanderbilt. This is a top 10 college football team.
Yes.
And honestly, Jake, if they started the year ranked 23rd in the country, where would they be ranked right now?
Probably in the top 6 or 7.
I mean,
they'd be higher, for sure.
Julian Minnesone, who works with me at News 2, is an AP voter.
Yep.
He has them at number 8 on his ballot. And now he sees them more closely than most of the voters do. And I get, you know, you're in Los Angeles.
Yeah, we talked about this yesterday of, like, the people on the West Coast may not be able to watch every snap of Vanderbilt LSU.
You're in Columbus, Ohio. You're in, you're in Norfolk, Virginia.
Right.
You don't know. You're not watching it. And I get that. You can't watch everybody. Believe me, having been a voter in a number of things, it's tough to watch everything. It just is. But that's when you have to ask and you really have to rely on things. And, you know, they're not good for Vanderbilt. All right. Last year, they were good for Vanderbilt.
Correct.
This year, they are an upper echelon college football team and a college playoff team. And this was funny because I had some of the ladies I work with, and they were like, well, I mean, they're good this year, but, you know, maybe they get to the playoff. I'm like, they can win it all. And they're like, what? I go, no, this team can beat anybody. I mean, like, look, the outside concerns me a little bit. You know, does it stack up? Look, we've seen the receivers the Ohio State University puts in the league. They're not going to match that. They're not.
Right.
But they've got the lines. They've got Pavia. They've got Stowers. You saw the other tight end, Cole Spence.
Cole made some plays this week.
Who, by the way, going into last year, was the guy. And they thought an NFL player. And so they could have two NFL players at tight end. So his performance yesterday shouldn't be – or not yesterday, this last weekend.
Saturday.
Should not be that big of a surprise to everyone. So they do have players. But bottom line, when you can run the football against anybody, you are going to be in every game.
Yeah, we've mentioned it throughout the season about how the biggest difference this year is in the trenches. Last year –
Both sides.
Yes. The defensive line has been tough to stop, too, because they can just rotate guys in and out. They've got nine different guys who play significant snaps on the defensive line.
Yeah. That's just real.
Right.
That's it.
And last year, I think you're right. They were good for a Vanderbilt team because they found a guy who could elevate a lot of other players on that team. And they brought in more talent. But this year, they have turned this roster into an SEC roster. Yeah. And you have a possible Heisman contender at quarterback.
Yeah, well, he is a Heisman contender now. I mean, he's in the top five now.
He did the pose after that touchdown.
And you know what? Good for him. Because he should be in there.
Well, was it back-to-back plays? I was up there, and I can't remember specifically. But the fourth and one, where he spins away from the pass rusher and finds Cedric Alexander to move the chains. And it might have been the very next play, drop back, sees part, and he takes it in for the touchdown.
I mean, but that's what he is. He's a dual threat guy.
Yeah.
And, you know, he can also play from the pocket some, but obviously he's better playing a little backyard football.
Yeah.
I mean, that's kind of who he is. And that's why you wonder what he will be, you know, when he gets a chance in somebody's camp, you know, in the NFL. But he Diego Pavia is a dreamer. He's a dreamer.
Yeah.
And in the world, you've got like these type A list maker. I mean, Clark Lee, type A list maker, buttoned up. We're gonna connect all these dots and we're gonna do this. And that's not a bad thing. I'm just saying there couldn't be two more different people in the world than Diego Pavia and Clark Lee.
Yes.
But you need both of those guys to create, you know, greatness. You know, Mike Ditka and Jim McMahon were like oil and water. But together, you know, they helped make something great. And so, and I'm saying Clark and Diego are oil and water. They're just completely different. But Diego gave all those guys the dream.
Yes.
And he gave them permission to dream and believe that they could be more, because this is a kid from New Mexico who nobody believed anything in. I mean, you can take a lot from the Cam Ward story as well, you know, that said, you are not going to define me. I will define me. We can define us. Don't let anybody put limitations on you. We all laughed at Clark Lee 2 years ago at SEC Media Days. Who's laughing now?
Right. I was about to bring up SEC Media Days this year, where I was up there for Vandy's day, and I got to watch Diego Pavia walk around all day
and tell
anyone who would ask, we want to win the national championship this year. I didn't come back to go 6-6.
Yeah.
And there was the snickering going around
of like,
oh, we love the confidence, but you're Vanderbilt.
Well, and they still only went 7-6 last year?
Right.
I mean, so we're talking about a big jump. They had gone 9-4 last year,
I think people would take them more seriously.
Yeah.
But the way they finished last year in the SEC, and a lot of it had to do with Diego being hurt.
Well, that's what we know, and not everybody else does.
Right. You lost 28-7 to South Carolina. You lost at LSU. You went up early against Tennessee, and then Tennessee pulled away. And that's kind of what the SEC remembers Vandy at the end of last year. And it's a different Vandy team. Right now, according to ESPN, 35% chance to make the college football playoff.
I think I would have. I mean, I understand they have a metric for it.
Yes, it's their FPI, which I'm not a huge fan of, but it's the only percentage that we have to work with.
And look, this, like I said, the schedule's the schedule. They got Texas, Tennessee,
yep,
Auburn, and Missouri this week.
Missouri this weekend.
Look, if they don't play well this week, they're going to lose.
For sure. And we're gonna talk about the schedule and how it lines up. You've got Missouri coming up this weekend at First Bank Stadium. College Game Day is in town for the first time since 2008. This is a massive game. And we said yesterday, we say it every week, this might be the most important game in Vanderbilt history.
Well, when you keep winning, you keep creating the most important.
Yeah, right. I mean, every time you win, the next one gets more important.
It's like stairs. You can't get to that top stair until you get to the second one.
Yep.
All right. And so they keep giving themselves permission to go up to the next step. And I don't want to say they're playoff games because I think they can lose one and still get in. But, you know, for this game, this is a huge football game. They're both in the same boat where if they win, they are in position A to make the playoffs.
Yes. If Vanderbilt wins this week, all they have to do, and again, easier said than done, beat the two 0-4 teams in the SEC at home, and you go to Neyland Stadium with a chance to go to the playoff.
Yeah.
No questions asked.
If you win or lose against Texas, if you beat the other two, you can make it a win and end game in Knoxville.
Right.
But if you win all of them before you get
to
Knoxville,
you might be good before you even show up.
You're right. You might already be in. You might already be in. And, you know, it's going to be interesting to see what is Tennessee, you know, at this point. What's Tennessee, 5-2?
Yes, they are 5-2.
So their playoffs start this week.
Yes,
and frankly, their schedule is a lot easier. They've got Oklahoma and they've got Vandy.
Yep, and at Florida, which you know the Swamp is a tough place to go play for Tennessee.
Do we even know who their coach is?
We don't. I'm sure they've announced an interim head coach. Okay. I haven't paid attention to it, but yes, Billy Napier is gone. Wes in Clarksville.
It's their wide receivers coach, Gonzalez.
Okay. Gotcha. Well,
that makes a lot of sense.
Gotcha. Wes in Clarksville on the text line asks, so does a two-loss UT team have a better chance at playoffs than a one-loss Vandy? Doesn't matter. It's impossible. One of those teams is going to get one more loss because they play each other at the end of the year. So,
well, no.
He's saying a two-loss UT team versus a one-loss Vandy.
No, Tennessee's got no chance in that scenario.
Right. There's a chance that you get a 10-2 Vandy and a 10-2 Tennessee.
Look, if you stack resumes right now, Vanderbilt's is way better.
Yeah. I would agree with you.
I mean, what good wins does Tennessee have?
Yeah, I mean, Mississippi State's better than you thought they would be, but I still wouldn't put that as a marquee win.
You won in overtime. You held on against Arkansas.
Honestly,
you beat a bad Syracuse team.
The biggest data point for Tennessee is that you should have beaten Georgia, but
you didn't.
You know, only counts in, horseshoes and hand grenades?
Well, you know, Mississippi State could say we should have beaten them.
That's true.
I mean, they have not been as impressed. Vanderbilt's got road win at Virginia Tech, road win at South Carolina, just beat LSU.
Yep.
Their resume is more impressive.
And if you do get to the point where you're 10-2, that means you have two more wins against Missouri, Texas, or Tennessee, two of those three.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think Vandy at 10-2, it doesn't seem very possible that they're going to get left out.
No, I don't think so.
Although I do think there's going to be a lot of 10-2 SEC teams that have to be sorted through at the end of the year.
You know, I'd have to see who all plays who.
Right.
But
that's the hard thing is that they're gonna cannibalize each other.
Yes, they are. And this always, the records are never as good at the end of the year as you think they're going to be.
Right.
They just aren't. Okay. So we'll wait and we'll see.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. If you want to text or call, our phone line's driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Again, leading with Vanderbilt today as the Commodores are 6-1, 10th in the country, top 10 for the first time in nearly 80 years, and they've got College Game Day coming to campus this weekend. We'll continue to talk about the Commodores coming up next. We'll get into the Titans in the 10 o'clock hour. We'll talk some Preds after a tough loss last night and much more. Corey Curtis from News 2 in today. I'm Jake Lyman. Parker Kelly here on Next Man Up, 102.5 The Game. Getting Rickrolled on this Wednesday morning.
Ted Lasso.
There you go. Season 4, I believe, is coming out at some point soon.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. You know what? I think Stranger Things Season 5 comes out around Thanksgiving.
Right.
Yeah, it's going to be in theaters, too.
Stranger Things?
Mm-hmm. I have never watched it. That's the one show I've never gotten into.
You're dead to me.
Is it that good?
No, it's great.
Okay.
It's great.
Maybe,
look, I'm nerdy, though.
Okay.
I like sci-fi, but there's good character development.
Okay.
And, yeah.
No.
Are you an MCU guy? Marvel?
Oh, yeah.
I knew I loved you.
Yeah. Yeah. Are you an MHA guy?
MHA?
Yeah. My Hero Academia. It's anime.
No, I have not watched that.
I'm not an anime guy.
But my daughter's 12.
Okay. Gotcha.
So she loved it, and I watched it with her, but now I'm in. And it's the final season has just started. In fact, I've watched 3 episodes in Japanese.
Oh.
So Yeah, wow. That's right. And I found something I have in common with Draymond Jones because he also watches anime now.
Wow.
And we're exchanging anime programs. There's another one on Netflix called Dandadan, which I highly recommend to everyone.
Have you learned any Japanese on the way?
No.
Yeah, it's tough. Do you do subtitles with it?
When it's in Japanese, yeah.
No, I'm saying, so you listen to it in Japanese with the subtitles?
Okay, so the first three episodes of the final season are out. They're only released in Japanese.
Oh, okay,
right now.
They don't have the dubs.
The dubs will eventually
gotcha.
Come out.
Gotcha, that makes sense.
Yes.
I have not gotten into that. I've been watching, have you seen The Boys on Amazon Prime?
I have not, but I keep thinking that should be a show that I watch.
I would say don't watch it with anybody under the age of maybe even 18. it is one of the grossest shows you'll ever watch, but it's very entertaining, and they have a spinoff, Gen V, that's been coming out lately,
I have
too.
Seen that. So I've seen the ads for it, and again, I'm like, these should probably be my shows.
It's entertaining. It's basically like if all superheroes were horrible instead of heroes. Like, that's the gist of it. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Jake Lyman, Corey Curtis, Parker Kelly, next man up, 1025, the game. Talking Vanderbilt to open up the show today. And Matt in Nashville on our text line actually brought me right to where I wanted to go next. So we talk about Vandy's upcoming schedule. You got 5 games to go.
Yep.
Missouri, at Texas, Auburn, Kentucky at home, at Tennessee.
They very well will be favored in at least 4 of them.
And that's what I wanted to say, is that you're going to be favored in your 3 home games, right?
Like
your
Which is amazing, because they just went 55 games in a row as a
without
dog.
Being favored in the SEC. And now we're looking at it saying, you're favored against Missouri already.
Yeah.
I believe they're 2.5-point favorites right now.
Which is a lower number than maybe, you know, right. It is, but it isn't.
It's the same as the LSU line.
Yes.
Auburn and Kentucky, again, those two teams are 0-4 in the conference, so you would expect Vandy would be favored. Texas is the interesting one, and Matt in Nashville asks, is it unrealistic to think Vandy would be favored in Austin?
No, it's not.
I don't think so. Like, what has Texas shown you this year outside of maybe the Oklahoma game?
Yeah, I mean, they've been disappointing for every week but one.
Yeah. I mean, the Oklahoma game was when you kind of thought maybe they've pulled out of it, and then they go to overtime with Kentucky.
Because rivalry games, anything can happen.
Right.
You know, we always talk about that in the NFL. When you get into division games, everybody knows each other so well.
Yeah.
That
you can kind of throw the records out, to use the old cliche.
We'll get into the Titans and Colts today. That not going to be the case there. But
14.5-point favorites.
Yeah. I mean, that was not a surprise.
Honestly, it might be low.
Okay.
Right. I'm kidding. When you get to a number that big, it's probably not low, but...
I know we're talking about Vanderbilt, but every Sunday, I get the lines for the next Sunday emailed to me.
Yeah.
And I always put out a tweet saying the Titans have opened up this.
As how many point underdogs?
Yeah, or favorite, or whatever. I mean, it's been a while since I've been favorite. But inevitably, I am responded to with 15 different text tweets saying, not enough, not enough, not enough. And it's like, it's to the point now where I go, the Titans have opened this. I know it's not enough. He's come up with something original.
14.5, I mean, you don't see those lines in the NFL.
No, I think the biggest line I've ever seen was 20.
Yes.
And I can't remember who that was.
I do remember seeing twice. A couple of years ago, might have even been the same year, I think it was the Bills were playing the Vikings, and the Bills were like, this was pre-Josh Allen, or maybe Allen's rookie year, and they were like 17-point dogs and won. So sometimes those big lines end up going the other way. I'm not picking that to happen.
This is the highest scoring team in the NFL against the lowest scoring team in the NFL.
96 points.
So if you
through 7 games.
So if you said the line was 20 in this game, I would agree with that. I guess I will say, I don't think it's enough. I think it's low.
Yeah.
But I will support why I think it's low. Highest scoring team versus lowest scoring team. You've got about a 20-point difference between the two.
Yeah.
The Colts are at home. The Titans are minus Jeff Simmons, minus Calvin Ridley, minus L'Jarius Sneed, until I know they're all going to play, which I'm not expecting. And so,
You might not have your three most talented veteran players on that team.
Well, the three guys who were supposed
to three,
be.
Right.
They were supposed to be your three best players.
You know what? I'll rephrase. Your three highest paid players may not be on the field on Sunday in Simmons, Ridley, and Snead. So,
back to Vanderbilt.
Back to Vanderbilt. I think it's more than possible that they are favored in Austin.
I think it's possible they're favored in Knoxville, depending on how things go.
Yeah.
If they're 11 or if they're 10-1 going to Knoxville and Tennessee drops this game to Oklahoma, then you know, it might be pick 'em.
The home field advantage in college does get a bigger bump. Like, I think in the NFL, they give them about 3 points for home field advantage. I would say SEC home games, especially, you know, Texas seats six figures, Tennessee seats six figures. I would think that it's more like a 4-4.5 point bump. So if I had to guess, I think it's probably Texas by like 2-3 and Tennessee by 2-3 would be what it would open at right now. But, you know, you got some other games to play.
Yeah, there's case dependent scenarios. I'm gonna look right now more like at Texas as a pick 'em.
Yeah.
And Tennessee is Tennessee by 2.5.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
But we'll see how it goes.
But to say that and look at Vandy, they really, you are more than in control of your own destiny.
Yeah, it's absolutely. And
if you win this week, you start to look at it as, hey, it's not Vandy could make the playoff. It's Vandy should make the playoff.
Yeah.
I saw yesterday ESPN put out an article, said that a win over Missouri would move Vandy's playoff chances to 49%, but that doesn't factor in any other games around the country. I mean, you've got, Ole Miss is playing Oklahoma. One of those teams has to lose.
Yep, they're going to drop out. Now Ole Miss would have two losses. They would drop out.
Right, so one of those teams has to lose, which would, if Vandy does win, would push them above. Vandy's going to have more than a 50% chance to make the playoff, according to ESPN, if you win this game on Saturday against Missouri.
Yeah.
So it's going to be a fun day on West End. Game day is in town. We'll talk about that a little bit on the other side. They have announced it is on campus. We were having this this discussion yesterday of, are they going to try and put it on Broadway because, you know, you get all the foot traffic. You know, I'm sure McAfee wants to be on Broadway. But
well, they got to have a place to do the field goal.
Right. And you know, the visual of kicking the field goal right down Broadway would be kind of cool.
Yeah, kind of like when they did the NASCAR burnouts on Broadway.
Right, right. So I understand why that was a thought, but they announced it is going to be on Wyatt Lawn on Vanderbilt's campus on Saturday.
Good
so
plan.
Exciting 8 o'clock start for game day.
That campus is so tight now.
I know.
Well, I mean, and by tight, I mean it every section of it's built up.
Right.
I mean, there's not a lot of spare acreage there.
Yes.
And so to find a space to do it is not that easy.
They did have the volleyball game on Wyatt Lawn to open up the year too. So at least they've done a live event on Wyatt Lawn already this season. So you would think that they at least have some experience there. I did see right before I came into the building today, Brock Taylor is holding a kicking clinic for Vanderbilt students on Friday to get some of these students ready for their opportunity at the Pat McAfee kick.
They don't want an Alabama incident.
Right.
We need to get Nick Frazier there. He has all the confidence in the world. He can make the kick. So.
And it's like, if you have any thought of entering that raffle to do the kick, you should go. Give yourself a little bit of practice because, I mean, that's
usually?
Right. It's minimum $100,000 if you can make the kick. So, should be a fun day. Game day on Saturday in Nashville. Yeah, I think I could punt it through.
Yeah,
sadly, I don't think they let you do that.
No, I can punt.
Can Kirk throw it through the uprights for me, too?
Yeah.
615-737-1025 is the phone number. We'll talk some game day on the other side and talk about whether Vandy, you know, game day was in Tuscaloosa a couple weeks ago. Vandy made some uncharacteristic mistakes. Can they block out the noise this week and get to 7-1? Jake Lyman, Corey Curtis, Parker Kelly with you on this Wednesday morning. Next man up, 1025 The Game. That was Clark Lee talking about this week's upcoming matchup with Missouri. It is a big moment for the program as a whole, and I believe that's how the question was framed of what this moment means for your program. You're top 10 in the country for the first time since just after World War II. You've got game day coming for the first time in 17 years. He wants his team to go out there, play loose, enjoy the moment, and hopefully able to get a win against Missouri. Jake Lyman, Corey Curtis, Parker Kelly, next man up, 1025 The Game. It is a challenge, I'm sure, for this Vanderbilt team who, Clark Lee said it right there, they want structure, they want to continue their process every single week, do it the same way.
He's type A.
But you're going to have cameras in your facility this week. Yep. I saw Diego Pavia was doing an interview already this week. It's like you have to be able to understand how important having game day in town and the spotlight on your program is, but also not let that change the way you prepare for the game.
You have to handle success. You have to handle success. And they've largely handled success ever since the Georgia State game. I think that game taught them about handling success.
Yeah.
And now this is a whole nother level. This is a whole nother level. And, you know, you're in the not just in the top 10 for the first time, but game day's here, and you know the entire country is, and you knew the entire country was watching when you went to Alabama and everything, but this is kind of a coronation
yes.
of you and your season, and if you don't follow through with it, it's kind of a funeral instead, all right? And so, you know, you have to execute on the other end of it. You got all the other stuff, and so your preparation and how you handle it is going to determine what that other side is. But I agree with Clark when he talked about being this team rather than the program, because in this day of college football, it's different. You don't have 25-man recruiting classes stacked on top of each other, and you're bringing back 75 guys every year. All right? This is different. You bring in a new recruiting class and an NIL recruiting class every year. So it's like the NFL, where you have 30-40% turnover on your roster every year. So this year's team is this year's team. You have to work with it, you have to celebrate it, and you have to squeeze every drop out of it, because this year's team will not be next year's team. And that's whether you've got Diego Pavia or not. That's the reality of college football. You have to coach the season you are in. And, you know, you can try to build some. You know, you've got to have some guys back there, but it is not the same.
No, it's not. It's a completely new world of college football, and I did like the way that Clark Lee put that of, it's not about this program, it's about this team, and Diego Pavia is the central part of that, obviously. And
he's the straw that stirs the drink, baby. He's Reggie Jackson.
But you got to have a drink, too. And that I think that was what the Vanderbilt broadcast said. It's like, he's the straw that stirs the drink, but the drink has to be there also.
it can't just be ice cubes.
And they have that with the offensive line and the weapons that they've brought in.
Xander and Eli
Stowers. Right.
Yeah.
So, but all of the comments you see about Vandy is like, oh, well, Diego Pavia, when he's gone, they're going to go back to same old Vanderbilt. And I don't see that happening. Now, is this a window for them to go to a college football playoff with Diego Pavia? Yes. And do I think that they may fall a little back to being a 7-win team, an 8-win team next year without Diego Pavia? Maybe. It depends on who they bring in to replace him.
Well, that's the great challenge for them. What are they after Pavia?
Right.
Is this just a blip on the radar? Or have they indeed got the infrastructure in place? Because that's what a lot of people don't talk about, is you've got the stadium, you've got the NIL package now,
yep.
You've got an understanding of the portal, you've got the head coach who's got Jerry Kill on his staff and the support that he needs. And so, you know, you've got all these layers to make yourself successful. And Pavia is the dot of the I.
Yes.
And that's what everybody sees. And it's hugely important. And when you take that away, it's a big piece to take away. But we're going to find out how truly good those other layers that they have stacked are.
Yes, and I think that's a perfect way to put it, is everybody from the outside, I think, just sees Diego Pavia and says once he leaves, they're going to be same old Vanderbilt, 2-10 every single year. And I don't see that. I think, yes, Diego Pavia has given them a window to go do things that you didn't think were possible
for
2 years ago. Right, you can go to the college football playoff with Diego Pavia. But this team isn't going to turn back into being 0-8 in the SEC.
No.
I think maybe it takes a step back next year without Pavia.
Sure.
But they continue to build the program, and they can be a consistent contender in the SEC.
He's a Heisman candidate quarterback. All right? So when are they going to have a Heisman candidate quarterback again?
Yeah.
I don't know. So, yeah, you should have every reason to say they're going to take a step back next year, because – until they get another guy who's even close to that caliber, you know, they're a good football team. I mean, like you said, their lines are good. I don't care who the quarterback is, they can run the football.
Yep.
All right. But Pavia gives them a chance at greatness.
For sure.
It's why Tennessee needed Joey Aguilar, right? Because what would Tennessee be without Joey Aguilar? They'd be struggling.
Yeah.
They'd be struggling. We already talked about how he's overachieved and he's better, and they're a little better than we expected because Joey Aguilar. Alabama comes out of the gate. What happens? They lose to Florida State, who we're finding out now isn't that good. Ty Simpson, not great in that game. Everybody wondering, is he going to make it or is he going to get passed up? Well, now he's the leading candidate.
He's the Heisman, favorite.
They haven't lost since. I mean, and that doesn't change the drink.
Yeah.
Right? The drink's been the same, but the guy who stirs it gives them a chance to be great. And so, you know, Ty Simpson is doing that at Alabama in a different way than Diego Pavia is doing it at Vanderbilt, but both guys are doing it. Fernando Mendoza is doing it at Indiana. That's a great football team, but he is performing at a really, really high level. And so, you know, Vanderbilt's got a lot of questions to answer next year, you know, but one of them is that it's going to be a huge shadow for whoever takes over that staff.
Yeah, those are huge shoes to fill.
I mean, they might be only size nines. I don't know. He's not that big of a guy. But, I mean, look, he could break me in half. But, you know, by quarterback terms,
yeah,
he's not a huge guy. But the shadow is going to be enormous.
Yep.
Enormous, because they'll play South Carolina and, you know, say they lose 31-25, and people go, God, if we just had Pavia, we win that game. But you don't. You
right.
don't. You're moving on. And that's the challenge in college football. And that's, you know, that's what made what Nick Saban did so great. It's what's made what Kirby Smart has done so great, because they lose guys and they've got other great guys just waiting to come in.
Yes, they do.
So Vanderbilt's got to prove, we built this team this year. Can we build another one next year?
4279 on the text line asks, what are the chances Clark Lee leaves Vandy after this year, maybe for Florida? And I think that's an interesting conversation to have, because there are a lot of high-profile jobs that are opening up right now. Penn State's open. Florida's open. Florida State might be open. But I look at it as, it's not like Clark Lee is just some random guy who they brought in to be their head coach. I don't think he views Vanderbilt as a stepping stone job.
Well, okay, I just had this conversation, and I think it's really interesting because, again, it's perception. I had some people at my work saying to me, well, why wouldn't he leave for Penn State? That's an automatic. And I said, I don't think you're understanding Clark Lee.
Yep.
I said, he might. I mean, I know him. I'm not close to him. I mean, I've asked him questions. That's it. But I think I understand who he is. And I think for Clark Lee, he doesn't want to just win a championship. He wants to win a championship at Vanderbilt.
I agree.
That's what means something to him. He grew up here. He played here. He saw dirt kicked in this program's face for 50 years, or however old he is. I mean, he has seen it, okay? And to elevate this program and to get them in position to win a championship, to me, to him, would be way more gratifying than going to Penn State and winning back-to-back titles. And so I think now that he's got the program in a place where he thinks there can be sustainable success,
yeah,
I have a hard time. It's much like Tim Corbin. He took over a trash program. I mean, you don't know. You don't know what that facility looked like. I do, okay? There were high school ballparks that looked better than where they played, all right? They had wood bleachers. It was terrible. But Tim Corbin made it not just his own, he made it the most elite program in all of America.
Yeah.
And he got offered by Texas, by LSU, by Auburn twice. Okay. They all went after him. They all went after him. And he said no. And it wasn't because it was Vanderbilt. It's because this was his. And this was his school. And they embraced him, and he embraced them. And there are people in the world like that. There are. There may not be a ton of them, but there are those people. And if I had to put my chips on the table, I would put my chips on the table, say Clark Lee stays unless something goes really sideways, because he and Candace Story Lee are tight.
Yes.
They have changed things on campus considerably.
Yep.
And they've changed the expectation. And they're selling out games.
Right.
They're already sold out for this one. And it's not because Missouri's coming and they're buying tickets.
No, I'm 100% with you. I think the renewed commitment from Chancellor Dearmeyer and the university and Candace Story Lee, and it's not like they're going to be offering pennies on the dollar to what everybody else is offering. Like, they can make Clark Lee a pretty high-paid head coach, and maybe he gets a raise out of it, but I don't see him going anywhere.
Look, and maybe I'm crazy. If Penn State offered it, what does he make at Vanderbilt?
I have no idea. So it's a private university.
Like
so
$2 million?
Yeah, I have no idea.
Yeah, I don't know. But so say, and I'm just making up numbers.
Yeah.
Say he makes $10 million, and Penn State offers him $10 million a year.
Right.
And Vanderbilt says, we can give you $5 million. I think he's just going to take the $5 million.
Right. I mean,
I don't think it's that important to him.
I understand that $5 million is a lot of money. But at some point, is there a huge difference in the lifestyle, right? Yeah, and if he enjoys being in Nashville and feels like he can continue to build this program?
I just think it's in his heart and in his soul.
I agree.
It's in his fiber of the being of who he is. And I could be dead wrong. But just, I mean, look, we knew James Franklin wasn't staying.
Yeah.
We knew once he got a better offer, he was going to be gone. And really, nobody could blame him because he was playing with a stacked deck against him.
And you didn't know if it was sustainable, the success that he was having.
Yeah. I mean, and he'd had a few issues, by the way, along the way, that off the field that were a problem and that were changing the way he was going to be able to do his job.
Yeah.
And, you know, so he got out of Dodge. He got out of Dodge. There's no reason for Clark Lee to get out of Dodge.
Yeah, I don't think so either. Kevin says Corbin helped bring Lee in, so I don't think either would leave. So that maybe that's, you know, those two together.
Yeah, we always wondered if Corbin could be the next athletic director.
Yeah.
But I think Candace Story Lee.
She's doing a great job.
She's going to be there a long time.
Yes, I think so too. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. We'll wrap up our conversation on Vandy on the other side. Got to talk the Heisman race, because Diego Pavia is right in the thick of it. Jake Lyman, Corey Curtis, Parker Kelly, next man up, 102.5 The Game. Next man up, 102.5 The Game, Jake Lyman, Corey Curtis, Parker Kelly. The MTSU Blue Raiders taking on Delaware tonight at 6:30. Catch all of the action on Totally Hits 93.3 with coverage also available on the Totally Hits Nashville app.
Joe
and at
Flacco
TotallyHitsNashville.com. Yes, yeah, the Blue Raiders and the Blue Hens facing off. Delaware's first year as an FBS team. So,
and they'll still probably win.
Can't say
it's a tough year. Yep. I saw ESPN, they've got like their bottom 10 poll, and unfortunately the Blue Raiders were in it.
It's been a tough year over there in Murfreesboro, but you know, Delaware, that's a vulnerable program.
It is, and look, I like Derek Mason, I like Chris Massaro, and I want them to have success. And it's much like the Titans, where, I mean, like, you didn't think it was going to be a great year this year, but you thought they were going to take a step forward.
Yeah.
And to see them not take a step forward is hard. And so for Middle, you know, they had the improvements to their facility, and they knew they needed the results to follow it. And, you know, they've hit the portal really hard for a couple of years in a row.
Yeah.
And to see it not materialize for them is difficult, because it's results are so important there. So, I mean, I don't know how many people are going to be at the game, but I can't imagine it's going to be many. And look, if you like college football, go. But I went to a 1AA school in Southern Illinois, and results are important.
Yeah.
I mean, Kermit Davis is proof of that. Proof of that. He won big. He gets people in the building. Rick Ensel, he wins. Right. People come to games.
For sure.
So at that level, especially, you got to produce. You got to produce. And, you know, you get that chance every year right out of the gate. And so, you know, I hope they get it together tomorrow night. I do.
Yep.
I do. I like Nick Vadiato. Oh, yeah, sorry. I like Nick Vadiato. I like Derek Mason. Like I said, I like Chris. I want to see him do well. It's been a tough year. They had the miracle win at Nevada. Hopefully they can string a second one on the board here.
Yep, they got Delaware on the road tonight. So Joe Dubin, Chip Walters on the call. Make sure you tune in over on 93.3 Totally Hits. Wrapping up hour number one, just want to have a quick conversation on the Heisman race. I mean, Diego Pavia, he was in the mix before Alabama and then kind of fell down. Yeah. We were talking, he was 50-1 heading into the LSU game. And that LSU game, right back into it.
10-1.
And every poll that you see, I know Joe Rexroad at The Athletic, they have a Heisman poll they do on Three Does. It seems like there's three guys. And it's still early enough that somebody else could enter the fold.
Sure.
But Ty Simpson, Fernando Mendoza, Diego Pavia. Those are the three names right now. And Pavia, I think it's getting more and more likely he gets an invite to New York. But the more I've looked at it, it does seem tough to see him winning it, barring them Vandy going undefeated and Pavia being...
He's got to win out.
Right.
He's got to win out because you think Alabama's going to win out.
Yes. And Simpson has been the best player in college football.
Yes. Ty's been great. And I think the other great thing for Ty is he's exceeded expectations.
Right.
And because, you know, like whether it be Peyton Manning or Carson Beck, you know, guys who played at a higher level before, and not to say those two guys are comparable, but when there's a bar and it's pretty high,
and if
you just meet that bar, that's not good enough to win you the Heisman. You know, that's why there's so few repeat winners.
Yes. Like, I mean, we saw it years in a row. There was freshmen winning it.
Yeah.
Johnny Manziel won it as a freshman. He couldn't repeat. Jameis Winston won it as a freshman. He couldn't repeat. I'm trying to think of the most recent one. Oh, Caleb Williams. Caleb Williams won it as a sophomore and then obviously didn't win it his. So you're right. Is once you set those expectations, if you don't go above and beyond, you really don't get considered.
And so we've got three guys that you just talked about who were not on the radar when the season started.
No.
I mean, we knew about Pavia and kind of thought he could thrust himself into that mix with a good season. So it's not surprising to me.
Yeah.
Right? But I understand why it's surprising to the rest of the country.
Right.
But we started this year with five first-round quarterbacks.
Yeah.
And I don't know if any of those five
have any chance at it.
Are still a first-round quarterback.
Let's see. I mean, I think Sellers has a chance just because of the traits. I think there's some NFL teams that would fall in love with that, but he has been underwhelming.
Yeah.
Cade Klubnik, certainly underwhelming.
Yeah.
Drew Aller.
He's hurt.
Hurt was underwhelming before, too. Yep. Who else do we have? Garrett Nussmeier.
It's been okay.
Been okay. Hasn't been bad. Yeah. And then who was the last one?
I don't know. There's one more.
Arch Manning.
Oh, yeah.
Arch Manning.
He's been so bad that we don't even think about him now.
Yeah. Arch Manning was the preseason favorite to win the Heisman, and he is not even in the remote conversation.
Yes. Like, everyone knows, he was coming back anyway, but the NFL probably would not be a choice at this point.
Yes. And, I mean, Jeremiah Smith was in that conversation, and, you know, he's still really good. But
And, you know, he could still, if he, like, the last two or three games, he's so electric. That if he puts like three games in a row together that are like eight catches, 200 yards, he could jump in at the very end and take it away.
Yes, 100%. But right now, those three names, Simpson, Mendoza, Pavia, that's the grouping. But you're right. Simpson seems to have the inside track if he wins out the way he's playing right now. And then Fernando Mendoza, I talk about Pavia and the story of like he pulled Vanderbilt to a 10-2 record and into the college football playoff. But if Fernando Mendoza takes Indiana to 12-0, I struggle to say that, you know.
What were they last year?
They were 11-1 last year. Okay. But
did the quarterback play at a high level?
At Oregon and way he's played.
He's been a little better than the last guy. Okay. But that again goes to how much of it is Kurt Cignetti.
Very good point.
And how much of it is schedule. You know, the Oregon win helps a lot. And also, when they beat Illinois was number 9 in the country, and he was almost perfect in that game.
63-10.
Yeah. And so, I guess, what games does Indiana have left?
Penn State is really the only one that is.
But they got four losses.
And Drew Aller is gone.
So, I think that is where Mendoza is going to struggle, and that is with the qualifications of who he's beaten and when.
And you also look at it as... There is, you know, the Heisman moment is maybe overblown, but having a moment in November that catches national attention can propel you. And
absolutely.
Of those guys, Diego's going to have the biggest opportunities to do it.
Look, if Diego goes to Knoxville and leads Vanderbilt on a game-winning drive to get into the college football playoff, and he scores a touchdown, and he strikes the pose on the checkerboard, you know, with zeros on the clock, I mean... You don't think that's going to be a lasting memory for voters?
Yeah, that's a good point. It is a good point.
And by the way, as a person who has voted for years, it always drives me crazy when people vote before all the games are done.
No, you got to see it all.
I mean, like, every year they call me. They're like, hey, you haven't turned in your vote yet. I go, yeah, I'm going to turn it in today because I wanted to watch every game I could possibly watch and see how everybody responded to every situation, you know, before I got my ballot in.
Yep.
And, you know, you hear about people like, you know, week 11 turning in. I'm like, what?
There's still more football to play.
There's two more games to play.
It's going to be a fun race down the stretch with those three and anyone else who might join the fray at the very end. But Diego Pavia certainly has a good chance to not only be in New York, but maybe be the one lifting the Heisman Trophy in December. 615-737-1025.
You talk about incredible stories.
I mean, right. I mean,
that's a movie.
They would make a movie about it.
Yeah.
If Pavia takes Vandy to the college football playoff and wins the Heisman.
Is it a Netflix movie? Or,
or a theaters movie?
No. Like, or is it like a Cinemax movie?
Tubi. Do him and Cam Ward get the Tubi primetime deals? 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Speaking of Cam Ward, we'll get into him next. The Titans lose again on Sunday, 31-13. And Cam Ward, for the second straight week, fumbles in an inexplicable fashion. We'll talk about Cam Ward's struggles and how he can improve as the Titans head to Indy this week. Jake Lyman, Corey Curtis, Parker Kelly, next man up, 102.5 The Game.